In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christos anesti.
Christos
voskreso. Brothers and sisters, we are right in the middle of the Paschal season. This is the most joyous time of year, which we celebrate the great victory of Christ risen from the dead. But it's also a time for us of transition. We know that the Paschal season won't last forever, although in a very real spiritual sense, it never ends. But we're transitioning into Pentecost. Just this week, we have what's called the Feast of Mid-Pentecost, which is happening at the 25-day mark after Pascha, and the 25-day mark before Pentecost. Pentecost literally means 50 days. So from Pascha to Pentecost, there are 50 days, and this mid-feast is at day 25. Now this Paschal season is very special. It's very special because we celebrate, again, not just the resurrection, but we're making our way towards Pentecost. In fact, the liturgical book that we use during this season is called the Pentecostarian. It's actually not named after Pascha, it's named after Pentecost. This Pentecost that is coming is foreshadowed by today's Gospel reading, as well as actually the next two Sundays, in which we commemorate the raising of the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. Next Sunday, the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And then after that, the blind man and his receiving his sight at the pool of Siloam. In each of these cases, there is a healing that takes place, a physical and a spiritual healing that takes place through the use of water. The Lord is using water to bring about the restoration of mankind. And these are images for us of what happens with our baptism, with our restoration in Christ, our incorporation into his death and rising, into his Pascha. So Pascha and Pentecost are very closely connected, and the church is trying to make this point for us in the readings that are given. We know that at the beginning of the Paschal season, we started with the Gospel of St. John, most theological of all of the Gospels, that speaks to us about the mission of Jesus Christ. On Pascha night, we heard the Gospel reading, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Beginning the Gospel of St. John, we have a revelation of who this Messiah is, who this Savior is, that he is God himself. This Word who has taken on flesh and become incarnate to bring about our restoration. The Gospel of St. John is so beautiful in its high theology. And we began it again on Pascha. The other book that we opened on Pascha was the Acts of the Apostles. This is a book that we've been reading according to our daily lectionary during the week, and also we have the readings, of course, on Sunday. The Acts of the Apostles. We'll speak a little bit about this book, and it's important for us. First, the book was written probably between 60 and 67 A.D. by Luke, who was one of the 70 apostles. He was a companion of St. Paul in his missionary journeys. He was a physician, a historian, an iconographer, and he eventually died a martyr's death in Thebes. St. Luke writes this book for his friend Theophilus, and it's actually a sequel. It's the second book in a series. The first was his gospel, the gospel according to St. Luke. And then he writes the Acts of the Apostles. It's interesting that this second book, this Acts of the Apostles, is actually unnamed. He didn't name the book. It's not called in its actual writing the Acts of the Apostles. That's a name that was given to it later. St. Irenaeus in the second century was the first known person to attribute that name to that book. Other names for it is simply Acts. Some say it's better to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit or the Acts of Jesus Christ. And of course, all of the names are appropriate because it was the Lord Jesus Christ who, through the Holy Spirit, was performing with the apostles these wonderful and glorious acts. St. Luke begins his writing of the gospel in his words to Theophilus. He says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that had been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. So that you might know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So that you might believe in Jesus Christ. It's actually how St. John finishes his gospel that we've been reading. That these were recorded so that you might believe, and believing you may have life in his name. This is the reason why the apostles wrote down their gospels and their acts. So that we might believe and have life in his name. Gospel of St. Luke covers St. John the forerunner, his conception and his birth, up until the ascension of the Lord. Chronologically speaking, that's the time frame. The Acts, the sequel, the St. Luke's Gospel, covers from the ascension and Pentecost in Jerusalem to St. Paul's preaching in Rome. St. Paul eventually is imprisoned in Rome, and there he will be martyred. The martyrdom is not covered. Neither is the martyrdom of St. Peter, that both happened under Nero in 67 AD, which allows us to date this book probably sometime just before that, because St. Luke would have certainly covered these martyrdoms in his writings. In the Acts of the Apostles, we see wonderful, wonderful things. We see the preaching and the miracles, the rapid expansion of the church. We see the development of the sacraments, baptism, the giving of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, which would later become Holy Chrismation. We see the breaking of the bread, Holy Communion, the participation in the Lord's mystical supper. We see the necessity of abiding in the apostles' doctrine and having fellowship with them. We see them making bishops who are overseers and deacons who are servants and priests who are the elders of communities. We see the conciliar nature of the body of Christ in Acts 15, the council in Jerusalem, and how there's only one head to the church, the Lord and God himself. We see the selfless love of Christians, their self-sacrificial charity for the poor, and their stewardship for the church. They're having all things in common. We see the martyrs and their fearlessness of death, knowing that the Lord has overcome this. And we see the fervent expectation of the faithful for the coming of the kingdom in all of its fullness, and their strong and urgent desire to bring the good news of this gospel into all of the world, and thereby to bring the whole world to Christ, the Messiah, the incarnate God. The Acts of the Apostles is a remarkable book. In today's readings, we saw the healing of two paralytics and the raising of one person who was dead. The first, we spoke about the pool of Bethesda, the paralytic was raised by the Lord Jesus Christ after 38 years. And then St. Peter raises Aeneas after 8 years of paralysis. And then he raises from the dead Tabitha or Dorcas. And in all of these things, we see out of stillness and paralysis and stagnation, we see newness of life, energy, action, activity. We see a coming alive in Christ. And this is, of course, what this season is all about, this newness of life. It's about us coming out of our paralysis, our awakening from our sleep, our arising from the dead, to have this newness of life that the Messiah came to bring to us. It's a time for us to act. Sometimes the temptation is when the Paschal season comes about to think, well, we made it through Great Lent. Now we can kind of relax a little bit and go back to normal. There is no normal after Pascha. Maybe a new normal, because Pascha has changed everything. We don't go back to sleep. We don't go back to our bed of paralysis. We don't go back to the tomb. We remain alive forevermore, as Christ has risen from the dead forevermore. Ordinary time has ceased. We're now in extraordinary time. And we're making our way towards Pentecost, which is a renewal of all of the grace that the Lord has to give to us. The church wants us to act. The church wants us to act like the apostles. But before we can act like the apostles in the drawing of the world to Christ, we have to act like the apostles in their being drawn to Christ. We remember that they didn't just go out on their first day with the Lord. When the Lord called them from their fishing nets, from their tax office, from whatever they were doing, when the Lord called them, he didn't send them out right away to just go out and convert the whole world to him. He had to teach them. He had to work the miracles. They had to see with their eyes. They had to hear with their ears. They had to come to believe. And most importantly, to learn about this newness of life that would be given to them. They had to learn about how they were to die and rise, how they were to enter into their own posture with Christ. And this took 3 years for them. If you think about Great Lent being long, sometimes there's a joke that if Great Lent were any longer, you know, we would not make it through. But God in his compassion and mercy has shortened the days so that no one would perish. The apostles spent 3 years in this intense spiritual development. They went through Great and Holy Week, and they were changed by it. They became the first people they would convert. They became the first people who they would convince to repent. They became the first people that they would encourage to believe. Their first mission was to themselves. And this is why Great Lent and Holy Week is given to us. It's a time of introspection, where we turn inward and make sure that we're moving in this right direction towards the kingdom. Make sure that we're believing and changing our lives, reprioritizing things, making sure that we're entering into our own Pascha so that we can proclaim this resurrection to others. The church has given us Great Lent and Holy Week to make us disciples. Because you can't be an apostle, one who's sent, before you're a disciple, one who learns. And now we're in this time where we're transitioning from discipleship to apostleship, where we are about to be once again renewed in that grace of Holy Pentecost and recommissioned by Christ to share this newness of life with the world. In our anticipation, we have great desire to be raised out of our paralysis, awakened from our sleep, be given newness of life out of our tombs, to respond to the Lord's question, do you want to be healed with the infirmative? Absolutely. Yes, Lord, I want to be healed of everything that has held me back in stagnation, that has kept me from spiritual development, that is binding me in sin and death. I want to be free from all of that. Yes, Lord, I want to be healed. This is what the man said today. And then when the Lord told him to do something, when he said, arise, take up your bed and walk, he did it. He simply did it. It's not enough just to have the desire and to answer the question with our lips. Yes, we want to be healed. We want to be saved. Yes, yes. We actually have to do what the Lord says. He said, arise, take up your bed and walk. We have to actually keep the commandment of the Lord. And that commandment is life eternal. We have to accept this newness of life. And that happens through our activity, through our participation in this newness of life. This poor fellow at the pool at Bethesda, he had nobody who was going to do it for him, right? No one's going to bring me into the water. No one's going to save me. No one's going to help me. No man. Well, of course. Of course no man was going to do it. Because he had to be part of it himself. He had to be willing to arise and to walk, and to walk in newness of life. And we have to be willing to do the same, to put these commandments of life eternal into practice. Nike had a famous slogan. Anyone know the slogan for Nike? What was Nike's slogan? Just do it. Just simply do it. The Lord says it, do it. That is our way to activity, brothers and sisters. No excuses, simply to do it. And when we do it, what happens? Signs and wonders. Things that we wouldn't expect. And the first thing is our own healing, is our own restoration, our own awakening. That's the first thing. And that witnesses to Christ for others to see. And then he commissions us and sends us out to be his apostles. Tell this to others too, that they can enter into newness of life as well. Brothers and sisters, it is a wonderful time. Time of spiritual development. Time of activity. Let us be aware of what the Lord is giving to us. Let us be aware of what we're being incorporated into. And think for a moment also about this book, the second book of St. Luke, which is unnamed. It's unnamed because although it's Acts, an activity, it is at the same time the act and activity of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and it is our own action. It is our own involvement in it. Put a name on that book. Let it be the Acts of Christ the Savior Mission. Let it be the Acts of Chad and Gregory and Alexander and each and every one of us. Let us write the next chapter by the Spirit of God and the power of Jesus Christ to the glory of the Father. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.